Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you through God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, with man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. The question that the rich young ruler asks is, what must I do to obtain eternal life, to inherit eternal life? What must I do? With man, it is completely impossible. But with God, all things are possible. What in the world is he talking about? What is impossible for man to do? It is impossible for man to give himself a second birth. You are all born again, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. This man thought he was a pretty spiritual man and that he has obeyed, in his estimation, the Ten Commandments, at least the letter of the law. And actually, it may very well be that he did a really good job. Paul certainly was an unbeliever, and Scripture speaks to him as being a zealous, righteous kind of guy in the sense that in his own works, he was pretty good. But this man has no faith. He is not spiritual. He may think he is, but he is dead in his trespasses and sins. He's breathing, he's eating, he's probably drinking a little bit. He's making lots of money, but spiritually he is dead, and dead people cannot give themselves a rebirth, cannot make themselves in any way, shape, or form have a relationship, a spirituality, because only God can do this. And that, my friends, has been done, I assume, in all of your lives. Either at your baptism, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and voila! Wouldn't it be nice if God, in his graciousness, would do something to let us kind of see the difference? You know, like maybe all of a sudden a bright halo erupts over the head of the crying child who got cold water because the pastor forgot to put warm water in. There doesn't appear to be anything. But the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God, we even sung in the hymn, is what God uses to create new life. Maybe you were 21 or 38 and somebody shared with you or proclaimed to you what God had done for you. God loves you and he forgives you of all of your sins. And all of a sudden you began to believe this. It had nothing to do with you. You didn't make a decision. You nothing. God made you alive through the speaking of the Word, God's Word, the Word from heaven, the eternal Word, Christ himself, just like with Lazarus. And I'll get to that. Hopefully, I'll remember to get to that in a minute. But so I want you to know and believe and not question, but to have confidence in this wonder that you have been born again, that God has created in you new life. He has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light and given you the Holy Spirit who works his good will and pleasure. Even though you fight against it, your sinful nature is constantly warring with the new man, yet, as we sung in the hymn, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is faithful. Praise God. So what I want to get at here is this idea in American Christianity that God has given you a free will. That is not true. This man had the I word. The I word is prevalent in all the religions of the world and even in most of Christianity. It is on your lips and in your heart because of original sin. We always want to come back because of our sinful flesh to put our trust in what I have done. And yet we know the scriptures, our Lutheran confessions. Luther said, I cannot by my own reason or strength come to believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord, but God has called me by the gospel, the word of God at baptism or when I'm 84, whatever creates in us new life. It has, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not a result of works, lest any man should boast. And yet we have, let me start out with the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church teaches on a regular basis. Now, I'm not saying, and I'm glad somebody brought this up in Bible class, I'm not saying that Catholics are not Christians. However, what I am telling you and warning you of and asking you to have a burden for those who go to a church like the Catholic Church that teaches their people that they must believe in Jesus and they must do good works. Luther didn't leave the Catholic Church just because he couldn't marry. The most important thing of all of Scripture, in fact, it is so important that St. Paul has a very stern warning against anyone who teaches a gospel contrary to what we have been taught, namely works righteousness, which is what the Catholic Church teaches. You got to believe in Jesus and you must do good works. What do Lutherans teach? We believe that Jesus Christ has done everything. Your faith is a gift. It's impossible for anyone to create faith in themselves. It is a gift from God. Philippians 1:6, I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work of faith in you will continue to perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. God has given you your faith. So you say, the reason I'm a Christian is by the grace of God. The Catholic Church constantly teaches their people. Now, some of them don't believe it, but unfortunately, they hear it every week that you must do something. We say, yeah, we want you to do good works. God has called you to do good works, but we do it as a response. We do it as a thank offering. They do it because they think they have to in order to obtain or inherit eternal life. The other side of the coin is the Protestant church at large, the Baptists, for example. They teach their people really exactly the same kind of thing. You got to believe in Jesus, but you have to do something. It doesn't mean that they're not Christians because some of them don't believe it. Oh, I started to say, I do this a lot. I kind of lose my train of thought. When either the Protestants or a Lutheran or a Catholic, anyone teaches a doctrine or a gospel different, anyone that preaches that you are saved not only because of Jesus, but because of Jesus and something you do, Paul says he is anathema. He is accursed. Whoa. Condemned to hell. This is no minor thing. This is why I encourage you, I beg you to have a burden for anyone who thinks or is taught that they have to do something in order to inherit eternal life. So the Protestant is told, Jesus loves you, but now you have to make a decision. You can't. You can't. If you're dead spiritually, you can't make a decision. Let me show you where they get this from, one of the verses. And it's very easy to understand why people, it makes more sense to say, well, we believe in free will, or we believe that you have a choice. But Lutherans, we've never said that. Our confession of faith, our teaching, our confession to the whole world is that we cannot say yes to Jesus unless we are awakened by the Holy Spirit. That's why it's all grace. It's all, Jesus gets all the credit. God gets all the credit. I don't know why he gives you and I faith, but we are confident that he has. So let me explain to you, if you'll hear me out here, from John chapter 1, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, my human reason says, that sounds like you have a choice to make. Except the next verse. It's like they completely ignore it. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born again, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will or the decision of a man. In fact, the NIV translates it a decision of man, but rather born of God. Ephesians 2 says the same thing all throughout Scripture. The reason they believe that you have a choice to make is because they do not understand original sin. We, as Lutherans, by the grace of God, Luther understood that we are dead. Ephesians 2:1, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. And the best way to understand this, because this really is a difficult teaching to understand. I hear lots of Lutherans make comments about having to make a decision for Jesus or accept him. That's not what we teach. No, God has done everything. And the example is Lazarus. Lazarus is dead. He's out of breath. He's dead as dead can be. And Jesus says, I don't know if he says it quite like this, but I'm going to use my Jesus voice. Lazarus, rise. I don't know if he said it that. He might have just whispered it. I don't know. But this is the word of God. This is God Almighty. This is heaven speaking on earth, telling Lazarus. And if God tells Lazarus to rise, he gives Lazarus life. Lazarus didn't say, he didn't say, oh, whoa, wait a minute, Jesus. I got a choice here, you know. Let me make my choice here. Oh, okay, I think I will. No, he was dead. How can you make a choice if you're dead? That's why Luther wrote this thick book called The Bondage of the Will. All we can do is reject. All we can do is say no. It doesn't make sense. If you are a Christian as you are, as you have been, it is because God has awakened you. This is why, as Lutherans, we say our worship service is a thank offering. Thank you, God, I have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. I have been forgiven of all of my sins. It's completely by grace. It's not because I obeyed the commandments. I mean, I am the chief of sinners. Dear friends, this is a difficult teaching, but it is very important. If you believe in free will, what happens is on your deathbed, you will be tempted to ask yourself, and I saw this many times in the army, you will be tempted to look here and ask yourself, did I, and there it is, I, we could do a rap song with I, yuck, I must decrease. Jesus must increase. On your deathbed, you will be tempted to ask, was I sincere when I asked Jesus into my heart? We don't do that. The Bible does not do that. It says, look to the cross. There, you have confidence. In fact, Romans chapter 7, the things I know I should do, that's what I don't. Things I know I shouldn't do, that's what I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Who is going to save me? I'm dead in my trespasses and sins. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We say, I am saved by the grace of God. That's why we don't boast. That's why we're called to humble ourselves. It is all about Jesus and has nothing to do with us. We believe because the Holy Spirit has given us faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to close. I know my sermons sometimes get a little long, but I gotta just address this for just a minute or two. It's a really tough question. Do you know what Luther said he was going to ask God when he got to heaven? The first question he's going to ask God, it has everything to do with what we just talked about. The fact that God gives you your faith. He said the first question he was going to ask is, why some and not others? I remember asking that question when I was in 10th grade. I went to my pastor. I said, you know, I know that I'm a sinner. I lived in the backyard. I got punished so much. There was no doubt about it. I was the chief of sinners. So God must have given me faith in Christ. I mean, I wouldn't want it otherwise. I'm constantly wanting sin, just like everybody else. So why did he give me faith and not Rick Binger? Rick was my best friend at the time. I remember mostly because one night we stayed up all night and learned how to juggle. We did it. But why me and not Rick? I don't know. Scripture does not give us an answer except Romans 11:33. And this is what my pastor told me, and then I went to seminary and learned, yep, this is it. Romans 7 through 9 basically answers this very difficult question, but the answer ultimately is Romans 11:33. I meant chapters 9 through 11, and it says, oh, how unsearchable are God's ways, how unfathomable are his ways, are his judgments and his ways. The bottom line is, God doesn't tell us, but we know this. God wants Rick Binger to be saved. He wants your brother or sister, your neighbor, whoever it is. He's given you faith, and he wants to give him faith. Why? This person doesn't have faith. We don't know. God is not predestining him to hell. He wants all men to be saved. And if we are saved, it's solely by the grace of God. It's not because of some decision or this decision to accept Jesus into my heart. No. I am saved because God has given me faith through the gospel, which is why your pastor must and always proclaim Christ and him crucified. Amen. Thank God he does the impossible. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.